The reading is written in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14, and can be found on page 994 in the church Bibles. It's Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more. And he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Tony. Let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. And we ask now that by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to understand it a bit more today so that we know you, Jesus, more as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tuesday evening it was. I was coming back from a work trip to Geneva. And as I was going down to the gate at the airport, I saw this big poster, big advert. And this line caught my eye. It says, where I come from is important, but where I'm going matters even more. And, you know, I don't like being away from home. I really dislike being away from Ailish and Jacob. So, you know, I nodded like an idiot at the poster thinking, yes, you know, what I've been doing for the last 3 days is really important, but what matters to me at the moment is getting home to my family. But something made me turn back to look at the poster again, which was quite fortunate, really, because I would have had no idea how to start today's sermon without it. But anyway, so I was reading it again, and it says, so where I come from is important, but where I'm going matters even more. And then it went on to say, with our international investment expertise, your wealth has a voice. Let it be heard. Now, you know, I know nothing about that global banking company that it was advertising. But it was evident from the whole thing, the whole advert, the feel of the advert, that what really matters for them was wealth. Was my financial security, my self-esteem, my public esteem, where I was going in that respect. And you know, of course, there's nothing wrong with wealth or planning for the future, of course not. But the advert was for me a stark confirmation of how easily it is to be led to a place where, you know, our money and our wealth, our self-esteem and all those type of things can become our master. And we can get drawn into more for myself, because that's where I'm going. It's all about me. That's what really matters. So our current series, our sermon series in the morning, looking into the investment advice that Jesus gives us in the Bible, is critical advice for us every single day in every situation. And we sort of need to take a rein check regularly to make sure, you know, asking ourselves, who or what is my master? Who is it I'm, or what is it I'm serving? Is it my bank account? Is it my career? Is it my children's education? Is it my retirement plan? Or is my master the Lord Jesus? And as we turn to today's investment advice from our passage in Matthew that Tony's just read to us, Jesus is in the middle of a discussion with his disciples, and he's answering a couple of questions, but here he's particularly answering the question about what we now call his second coming, when Jesus returns at the end of what we know as history as we know it, to judge us all. And Jesus has been telling the disciples that only God the Father knows when that's going to happen, so don't worry about when it is and how long it seems to be taking. But just concentrate on being ready, being watchful, as the Bible says. And Jesus goes on to sort of give some practical ways of what that looks like. And as part of his answer, Jesus tells this story, this parable, of a man, a very rich man, who goes away for what it turns out, as it says in verse 19, he goes away for a long time. And he gives his three servants various quantities of money to invest. You probably heard in that Bible read, and it used the word, Jesus used the word talents. And it's worth us getting a proper feel for what those talents represent and their value to help us as we go through the sermon and then apply it later. So one talent was a very large amount of money, probably like in the format of gold or silver. But it would have been worth something like 15 to 20 years' salary for an ordinary worker. So just think, 15, 20 years worth of salary, that's a lot of money we're talking about. So whether the master gives five talents or two talents or one talent, it's a lot of money. And Jesus makes clear in verse 14 that these talents are the master's own wealth. It's his own property, the Bible says. And he was entrusting it to his servants to invest in his absence. So the talents are not so much the money itself, but the level of responsibility that the master entrusts to each servant. So to illustrate that, it might be like, let's say, Richard Branson, you know, head of the big Virgin organisation. It would be like him calling in, say, three of his call centre staff and saying, Bob, you're going to run the airline for me. And David, you're going to run the train company for me. And Ailish, you're going to run the telephone and media company for me. That's the sort of thing. What we mean. These days we tend to use the word talents to describe, you know, what we're good at, our skills, that type of thing. But here it's about a delegation of certain responsibilities, providing an opportunity to do something. And we can be sure of that because Jesus goes on in the story in verse 15, because he says that the quantity of talents given to each servant was according to their abilities, according to their respective abilities. So the skills and the gifts that each of them have are part of the equation, but only in terms of what they're capable of doing with the responsibility, with the talents that the master gives them. So we get this picture of enormous value of the master's property and how awesome a privilege it is, how big a responsibility the master gives to his servants. He's putting, you know, a significant amount of wealth, his name, his reputation, into their hands. Lots of trust, lots of risk. But also for the servants, what an opportunity to show that they're his faithful servants, ready to respond positively to the privileged position that they've been put in. And as Jesus goes on with the story, we see that the first two servants put their talents to good use and they double their money. Now, there's no indication that they expected anything for themselves as they did that, but rather that they wanted to honour their master. They wanted to honour the responsibility that had been given to them. And when the master returns, they both receive equal praise. Verse 21 and 23. Both the same, exactly the same wording. It's really interesting. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. Just shows how rich he was, because what he gave him was a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Well done, good and faithful servant. They both hear that, and they both are invited into investing further opportunities of his wealth and to share in his happiness. And you know, although the two servants make a different amount of money, they're different amounts, but they receive exactly the same response from the master, because he's not concerned. He's not concerned about, you know, the gain, the profit. He's worried, he's interested in how they invested faithfully on his behalf and obediently. But the story goes on in verses 24 to 30 that the third servant is judged as worthless and rejected by the master. And you know, we might think, well, that's a bit harsh, isn't it? The guy was just, you know, it was a lot of money. The guy was just, you know, just trying to protect it, didn't want to lose it. So he buries it. And then when the master returns, that's what the servant says. He says, you know, well, you know, it's a big amount of money, and I chose to play safe because I know what sort of guy you are. I know how ruthless you are, and I, you know, I didn't want to get castigated if it all went wrong. But this reveals two things about the third servant. Firstly, he had no idea what his master was really like. He'd seemingly never bothered to find out, and so he'd misjudged the character and the intentions of his master. But secondly, whether he knew the master's character or not, he was still the servant. The master was still in charge, and so he should have been obedient. That profit, the profit that the third servant might or might not have achieved, wasn't important to the master. It was that the servant did not invest the responsibility responsibly. The servant showed no respect, no commitment, as the master points out to him. You know, you didn't really have to do much at all. You could have just put it in the bank and made a little bit of interest. So how does this apply to us today as we think about Jesus' investment advice to us? What does he expect of us if we've committed our lives to Jesus, or maybe we're thinking about doing that, we're thinking about becoming a Christian? Well, the first point to emphasise is that Jesus is the master in the story, and he's gone away, and he's been gone a long time. He came the first time 2,000 years ago to die on the cross for us. God raised him from the dead, he ascended to heaven. But he will return, the Bible tells us, he will return. And he waits in heaven. He waits in heaven for that fearful but glorious day when God the Father says to him, go and judge everyone and bring the faithful into my perfect presence forever. Jesus is the master. Jesus is the king, as we were singing. Jesus is Lord. And if we believe and trust in him and we've given our lives to him, we are his servants, we're his slaves, and we're called to serve him faithfully. Now, those two points, Jesus is master and we're his servants, are perhaps, you know, fairly straightforward to grasp. But what about the talents? What is it that Jesus, as our master, entrusts to us? What is it? What are those responsibilities he delegates to us? Well, in the plainest of terms, the big picture, he's given us the responsibility to be part of growing his kingdom. It's what he says to his disciples as he leaves them at the end of Matthew 28. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's our sort of vision here as well at St. Patrick's, to make disciples and grow disciples. There's nothing of greater value, there's nothing of higher worth than Jesus' kingdom, to know Jesus personally, to be part of his kingdom. And Jesus has given us the awesome privilege, the mega responsibility to do his work for him, to tell others about Jesus, to show what Jesus' character is like on his behalf. But in practical terms, the talents that Jesus entrusts to us individually and as a church, well, you know, they will be all sorts of things, all sorts of opportunities that he invites us to invest faithfully and obediently for him. And they will be things that are of eternal value. They will be things that demonstrate that we want to store up treasures in heaven. They will demonstrate that what we do is for God's glory and not for our own gain. It could be a responsibility that Jesus places on us for telling others, for telling someone directly about the gospel, about the good news of him, of Jesus. Or it could be about inviting someone to church, something we've talked about a lot here over the last few months. But it will be anything that reflects the character of Jesus through us to others. Remember the story. When Jesus hands over responsibility, it's not always the same. It's not always the same extent of responsibility. It's in line with what we are capable of achieving. He will commission us according to our abilities. And he doesn't ask us to do anything more or less than we're capable of doing. Sometimes it feels like that. You're asked me to do this. I'm not capable. But he knows what we're like. And he won't ask us to do something. He won't give us that responsibility if he doesn't think we can do it. And it's not the level of responsibility that matters, as I said earlier. It's not how visible or hidden or how big a job or little a job it seems to be. It's not even about how successful the outcome might be, but it's how we invest the responsibility and the opportunities that Jesus gives us. Thinking about that, you know, we're talking about being an inviting church. You know, the responsibility that Jesus puts on us is to invite somebody to something. Whether they say yes or no, you know, that's the outcome is less important. It's how we faithfully respond to the responsibility to invite someone in the first place. He wants us to invest responsibly, and not doing anything with an opportunity and burying it, well, that's irresponsible, because it's withholding potentially an opportunity for somebody else to know a bit more about the Lord Jesus. And investing responsibly will mean faithful and obedient to Jesus, yes, but it's also going to mean adventurous and joyful and enthusiastic, not selfish but selfless, selflessly as servants of our Lord and King Jesus. Not because we want to earn his favour, because we can't do that. He's already done everything for us. He's already given us everything. But because we would do anything for the Lord in response to the wonderful love and grace which he has showed to us, when he took the ultimate responsibility, when he took on himself your penalty, my penalty, the penalty that we deserve for our sin, for our rebellion, for our serving other masters. We don't serve Jesus for reward. We serve Jesus in response to what he's done for us. And yet this story, a wonderful story, tells us that when we serve him faithfully, we can look forward to Jesus, Lord of the universe, saying to you and saying to me, well done, good and faithful servant. How awesome is that? When I was a teenager, I used to help my dad do stuff at home. He taught me to decorate. And one day he says to me, Dave, right, you can hang the next bit of wallpaper. And he entrusted that responsibility to me. And, you know, my dad was an absolute perfectionist in decorating, particularly wallpapering. And I knew that this was a big risk he was taking, you know, some triple risk probably, financial risk. We didn't have a lot of money. Could have been another roll of wallpaper he was looking at. You know, emotionally, I can imagine him going, what's it going to turn out? And visibly, you know, if it went wrong, well, my mum weren't going to be very happy. But I look back and I remember and I thought how special I felt, how honoured I was for my dad, the expert, to delegate that responsibility to hang that wallpaper for him. And you know, I responded and I gave it everything, all that he taught me, and I really put a lot of effort into it. And I did a pretty good job, actually. I matched those disgusting flowers up very nicely. And I only cut a little bit short of the skirting board and the picture rail. Skirting board and picture rail, just so I do know what I'm talking about. And I remember him saying to me, well done, mate. And I know how good that felt. And now multiply that by umpteenth degrees. Think what it'll feel like when Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Responsibilities, opportunities that Jesus gives us to further his kingdom could involve anything, anyone, anywhere. It could be use of your house, of your car. Maybe you've got some spare cash, some free time. It could be a person you meet. It could be a calling to serve, a calling to lead a home group, a calling to make coffee at the home group. It could be anything, anything at all. Whatever it is, Jesus knows what you and I are capable of. And when he delegates responsibility and opportunities to us, he expects us to be responsible and faithful in our investment. Not to bury the opportunity in the ground, but to be creative, to be courageous, to show people who Jesus is and what he's like. And that really brings me to my final point. Because part of all this is knowing the character of the master. The third servant was way off mark. He didn't know and he didn't care that the master, what the master's true character was. The master knew him though, knew all about him. And the master offered him the responsibility of becoming a faithful servant. And he gave him the opportunity to get to know the master more. But sadly, the third servant rejected the master, and so the master rejected him. As disciples of Jesus, we're invited into a close and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Yes, he is Lord and he is King of the cosmos. And he deserves our worship and our honour and our obedience and our submission. But he's also our brother. He's also our friend. He's also our saviour. He's also our servant, the suffering servant who gave his life for us, for you and for me. And you know, my prayer is that all of us would seek with all of our heart to know him more and more, to be more and more amazed at his greatness and his power and his love, so that when he gives us a new opportunity, a new responsibility to be part of growing his kingdom, well, we'll be bursting to invest it for him. It says at the end in verse 28 that when we do that, he will give us more responsibilities. He'll give us more opportunities because he wants us to grow. He wants us to be transformed so we can do more for him. So we can be ready to share his happiness, his joy, his glory forever. As I finish, let's go back to the advert at Geneva Airport and claim that word in for our own. Jesus agrees where we're going really matters. And what matters is when we meet him face to face on Judgment Day, that he recognises us as his servant. And that he will remember our responsible investment and say, well done, good and faithful servant. So we should listen to Jesus' investment advice, his cosmic, his eternal investment expertise, ready to take on the responsibilities he entrusts to us, to serve him faithfully, to invest responsibly, so that we can help others to come to know his character more and more. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, some of this is hard to hear because our natural thing is not to want to be a slave or a servant to anybody, but just to be our own master, our own mistress. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would stir us, all of us, including me, Lord, particularly me this morning, to realise just what you are like, Lord Jesus, what you have done for us, that you've given everything for us as the suffering servant. And help us to respond to you, to give our lives to you for the first time and then every day. Help us to take those opportunities, those responsibilities that you place on us. Thank you for the gifts and the skills and the other things you give us to enable us to do those things that you call us to do. Please help us to be bold, to be courageous, to be obedient. Please help us to know that it's for your kingdom so that others would know you too. We ask this in the name of the Lord and King, Jesus. Amen.